Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Shoftim Perek Tet, Chapter 9. Now, Shoftim Perek Tet really deals again with this question of leadership that we saw so strongly in last chapter. In the last perek, Gideon had said in response to the people's request for a ruler, Lo yimshol ani bachem, lo yimshol b'ni bachem, Hashem yimshol bachem. I won't rule over you, my son won't rule over you, only God should rule over you. And this parak will take up that question again by showing us a glimpse of rulers and the pushback against them. Now, the book of Judges also, as we mentioned, I think earlier in this series, starts out with a whole bunch of strong leaders, Otniel ben Knaz, Ehud ben Gera, Devorah, Gideon. These were all saviors of Bnei Israel. They were connected to the people. They were God-fearing. But the second half is totally different. Now, at the end of Parachet, we were introduced to a son of Gideon named Avimelech. Avimelech is a son of Gideon's Pilegesh from Shechem. Unclear whether she herself was Jewish, because Shechem was a mixed area. And he becomes the major force of action in this story. And we'll see that this comes out in a very negative way. Now, after Gideon dies, Avimelech approaches the people of Shechem, which is his mother's community, and he comes to them with a logical argument. He says, "Dibruna ba'aznei ko ba'alei Shechem." He went to the leaders and he said, "Please speak to all the people of Shechem. Ma tov lachem hamsho bachem shivim ish ko b'nei Yerubal im shom bachem ish achad." Right? Wouldn't it be better to have one leader than to have 70 leaders? Seems to be assuming that there will be, it's Mishol also, not just a leader, it's a ruler. And his assumption is that there will be a king, and the king should be better to have one king or than 70. Okay, this sounds like a logical argument. But then his next statement at the end of this pasuk turns to self-interest. He says, "V'zachartem, you should remember, ki atzmechem u'besarchem ani, that I'm your flesh and blood." And his argument to them is, make me the king, because it's in your own self-interest to make me the king. Now, this is the very beginning of the parak. The people think about it, and they decide, yes, this is a very good argument. And it says it straight out. They turn to Avimelech, Ki Amru, this is in Pasuk Gimel, Ki Amru Achinuhu. We realize that he is our flesh and blood, and therefore, yes, it is better to be related to the person in power. They tell this to Avimelech, and then the story takes a chilling turn. Avimelech finds people, really assassins, who will help him on his quest to be the next ruler. He takes 70 shekels from the temple of Baal Brit, and he goes to Ophrah with these people, and they kill the other 70 sons of Gideon. Only one son remains, Yotam, because he is hidden. And Yotam is probably a play on words of Yatom. He's an orphan. He's left alone. Yotam also, though, has a message for the people of Shechem. Really remarkably, after everything he suffers, he wants his voice to be heard. And he goes to Har Gerizim, overlooking Shechem, and he calls out to the people, and he starts by telling them a story. And I'll read you, this is Psukim Chet and Tet, the beginning of the story, and then we'll be able to follow the pattern here. Halo chalchu ha'etzim limshoch aleim melech, v'yamru la'zayit malka aleinu. So all the trees want to find for themselves a king. So they first go to the olive tree, right, which is a very, I would say, majestic kind of tree. Zayit is also what you use to anoint a king. And they say, "Zayit, you should rule over us." Vayomer lahem hazayit. The Zayit responds, "Hechadalti et dashni asher bi yichabdu Elohim v'anashim v'halachti lanua al ha'itim." Right? Have I finished with all of my produce, my oil that I produce, that it benefits God and it benefits people? Should I leave what I'm doing, all the productive work I'm doing, in order to rule over, in order to, I guess it, the words are really wave over these other trees? So essentially, the Zayit, the olive tree, rejects the offer of kingship. The same thing happens two more times. The trees go to the fig tree and say, please rule over us. The fig responds in exactly the same way. I'm busy. I'm doing good things. I'm creating sweetness. Should I stop doing this in order to rule over you? Then they turn to the grapes vines and they say, please rule over us. And now once again, the grapevines respond and they say, I'm making wine. I'm doing something important. Why would I stop in order to rule over you? Finally, really out of desperation, the trees turn to the atad, the thorn tree. Now, a thorn tree, you can realize, is not something that provides fruit or shade. There's really little benefit of the thorn tree, and in fact, only maybe potential for harm. And they go to the atad, and they say, rule over us. The atad responds, and here is the atad's response. It is in, just looking at what pasuk it is, in Tetvav 15. Okay, the Atad responds, Vayomer ha'atad al ha'etzim, Im be'emet atem moshchim oti la'melech aleichem, ba'u chasu b'tzili. Okay, if you really want to make me into your king, then come rest in my shade. Now also, we already all realize that there's no shade that comes from the thorn bush. So that's already like a big red flag. But then he goes on to say, Im ayin, if you don't really want me, teitze eish min ha'atad v'tochal et arzei ha'livanon. Then fire will come out of this thorn bush and it will eat up, that fire will eat up all the tallest cedars of Lebanon. Yotam then, he's definitely captured their attention. He then begins to interpret the mashal. And this interpretation begins in Pasuk Ted Zion 16. So he begins by asking the people of Shechem a question, and he says, "Vata im be'emet u'betamim asitem, v'tamlichu et avimelech, v'im tova asitem im yir ba'al, v'im beito, v'im kigmol yadav asitem lo." So let's think about what you just did. If you did good and you did right by anointing Avimelech, and if you did right by Yerubal, by Gidon, by Avimelech's father, if you did right in what you did appointing him and also in recognizing and having Hakarat HaTov to Gidon for all that he did to you, and it almost was before he can even finish the sentence, Yotam cuts himself off because an if should have a follow-up, but he cuts himself off and he says, no, you didn't do right by Gidon. Let me remind you, these are the things that my father did for you. He fought for you. He risked his life for you. He saved you. And you instead have responded by turning on my father's house, killing his children, and appointing Avimelech as king. Now he turns back to them to finish his sentence, and in Pasuk Yutet he says, "V'im be'emet u'betamim asitem im Yerubal ve'im beito hayom." Okay, if you really did right by Yerubal, Gidon, and his house, and we know how Yotam feels about that, he continues, "Simchu ba'avimelech v'yismach gam hu bachem." So if you feel good about yourself, if you could go to sleep at night knowing what you did, then you should have joy in Avimelech, and he will have joy in you. But then he continues, v'im ayin, but if not, teitze eish me avimelech v'tochal et ba'alei Shechem v'et beit milo, v'teitze eish me ba'alei Shechem u'mi beit milo v'tochal et avimelech. But if not, then fire will come out of Avimelech and it will eat up all of the people of Shechem, and fire will also come out of the people of Shechem and it'll eat up as Avimelech. Now, it's interesting here, I'll just make a short note, that Yotam's explanation, his strongest critique is not only to Avimelech, about Avimelech, but his critique here is to the people of Shechem and saying that they are kafoy tov to the legacy of Gidon. Gidon was the one who saved them, and instead of repaying what he did with kindness, they instead have allowed a tyrant to kill out his house, his legacy, and rule over them. Now, this element, by the way, is not really part of the story part, the mashal, the parable that he tells them. It's very specifically against Avimelech. But we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Yotam then runs away for his own self-protection, and he disappears. But this mashal turns out to be not only wise words of Musar, but also as a sense of prediction. Next thing we learn is that after 3 years, the people tire of Avimelech's leadership. They begin to rebel against him. Someone named Gaal ben Eved joins, leads the rebellion, and says, hey, I wish that we could just put this whole nation in my hands, and I would go out, I would fight Avimelech. Now Zvul, the governor of Shechem, who is also an ally of Avimelech, tells Avimelech about this brewing rebellion and advises him to proactively ambush them. Avimelech does this, and along with Zvul's help, he expels Gaal and his allies from Shechem and pushes down the rebellion. But Avimelech is not done. The next day, he ambushes the people of Shechem, who have been just coming out to the field. And when he finds out that the people of Migdal Shechem have hidden in a tunnel, he takes trees and sets fire to the tunnel and burns these people alive. He then continues to the city of Tevetz. At that point, all the people there, knowing what's coming, have gathered into a tall tower on the outskirts of the city for their self-protection. Avimelech comes close to the tower, trying to, in the hopes of burning down everybody in the tower, burning down the city, and as he gets close, a woman takes a millstone, drops it on his head. Now, as Avimelech realizes that he is on his deathbed and he is about to die, he turns to the Na'ar, the attendant, who's with him, who's holding all of his weapons, and he says to him, please, kill me. Pen yomru li isha haragatu vayad kirehu na'aro vayamot. So he says, please just kill me. I don't want anyone to say that a woman, I died at the hands of a woman. So his attendant understands that. He stabs him and he died. And finally, when the people see that Avimelech died, everyone went home. And the parak closes with two very sad psukim. Vayashev Elohim et ra'at Avimelech asher asala aviv laharog et shiv imachav. This one, I guess, is not so sad. God repaid Avimelech for all the evil he had done to his father when he killed his 70 brothers. Ve'et ra'at anshei Shechem, heishiv Elokim b'rosham, v'tavo aleim k'lilat yotam ben Yerubbaal. And all the evil of the people of Shechem, God returned to them on their heads, because just like it was said, in the curse of Yotam ben Yerubbaal. So I guess I said they're sad. They're sad because nothing good came out of this story. Everybody, like Yotam predicted, everybody who got involved with the fire was ultimately burned. Now, I want to return, just to close, to the mashal that Yotam gave. And there are really two ways to read this parable. Okay? And I think the first and maybe the most obvious way is that Yotam is speaking out against the monarchy. The atad, the thorn bush, represents the king. And the message of the mashal is that anybody doing something important wouldn't waste their time on being king. You'll never find a good king, because the people who are pulled to that sort of position are those like the atad, who have nothing to offer. Instead, all the productive people, represented by the olives, the grapes, the figs, they're busy. They don't have time to lead. And it reminds me very much of Mishnah Yud in the first parak of Avot that says, Shemaya and Avtalion say, Shemaya says, Ehov et hamlacha v'sonei et harabanut. Right, you should love work, like you should be a doer, you should accomplish, but you should run away from leadership. You should hate leadership. Leadership is evil. You should just try to do good in the world. And who is someone who really wants to spend time on politics? Well, it's usually someone like the Atad, who has the self-interest that Avimelech had, and who has actually very little to offer. And the rebuke here is to Avimelech, the Atad, the thorn bush, who represents the worst of that impulse. But there's another way to read this parable, which is not anti-monarchy at all. In the mashal, the parable, the trees sought out a leader, and they turned to three good options. But all those that they turned to said, hey, I'm doing important work. How can I lead? And it seems that it's really almost desperation that led them to the thorn bush. Now, certainly, Avimelech is the main culprit here. But perhaps there's also a veiled rebuke to the ones who could have stepped into the vacuum that was left by Gideon's death. And this parak, I think, raises a very important question. Because on the one hand, right, what could be a worse critique of the dangers of leadership, the self-destructive elements of leadership, and the dangers of power, like a king who holds so much power than the story of Avimelech. But at the same time, maybe this parak is a call to all the others, to the good people, to the productive people who might shy away from leadership for those very reasons. And it raises the question for them, where are you? We need you. Why don't you lead? Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat Frida, Bat Moshe Eliyahu.